Welcome into a new Buff Stampede Radio. Adam Munster Tiger, the publisher of BuffStampede.com, joined by football analyst William Gardner. We're going to try to get back to kind of our Sunday routine, which we had there for a while. William, I hope your weekend has gone well.
Yeah, it's been good so far. Nice and easy. Just relaxed. Nothing really going on this time of year.
So spring ball's around the corner. We've got a lot of recruiting updates to go through. We're going to talk about some of the guys we expect to stand out this spring. It should be a fun show. We're going to do, again, a lot of film review on this show, which has been enjoyable to do with you here since we finally figured out the technology.
Yeah, we'll get to still have to fine tune it a little bit, but I think we're getting there.
Yeah. No doubt. Well, they are still going through winter strength and conditioning workouts, and there isn't quite as much content out there as there has been the past few off seasons. But I was rolling through some of that this morning, and man, I got to tell you, Samu Tamatupepe, did I nail that?
How the hell are you asking me? T Samu S Samu T.
He needs his own area code, man.
I didn't see him.
He was doing some footwork drills. He is a big, massive human being.
I didn't. Yeah. I must have missed that particular piece. But did he look mobile? Okay, we can move on.
What he's going to be asked to do is be a space eater, and he can do that. I expect him to have a bunch of sacks? No, I don't.
No, you know, but then you know, you look at Domantopeco in the NFL, and he wasn't that
right
super agile guy either. You know, you pick up a couple of blocks and make a pile in the middle, and you're doing your job. I think a lot of people don't understand that about an interior defensive lineman, particularly a person that's a legitimate nose. I know if we're going to go to a three-man front, or even a four-man front with the one technique, is you need somebody in there that can take on blocks and force them to double team so the linebackers can make the plays.
Yeah. And I think that's what these linebackers they brought in this year need is those space eaters, because they're guys that, you know, a couple of them are moving up a level. And, you know, they're really, really talented players. They're better than, and maybe this is newness bias, if that's a thing, that, you know, Gideon Lamprin and Taylor Martinez, I think, are going to be better than what we saw from the transfers that they brought in at that position last year. But it's still a transition for those guys.
Yeah, and you don't know until they get out there in game situations and to really see it. You know, I think they're going to see a lot of different things from our offense that will make them better players on game days, because they're going to have to read the backs and make tackles and all that sort of stuff against our offense. So we'll see early on, I think. I don't know. You know, it's the same problem with spring and fall camp that's been there for 50 years, you know.
Yeah.
one side does something good, does it mean they're good, or does it mean the other side sucks? Who knows, you know, until you get into actual games, you don't really know.
Yeah. I would say Sweetwine, the new freshman quarterback that came in, he's got a nice frame to build on. I'm anxious to see. He's certainly not going to be the starter unless things go horribly wrong injury-wise this preseason. Right. But I like that late out at quarterback.
Yeah, and I think the quarterback room looks a lot better. I thought, a group that stood out to me was the tight ends. You know, a lot of them are current or former walk-ons, but they look good in the weight room. I think this may be a year that Zach Atkins really breaks out. But Brady Coppins looked good in there. That stuck out to me. I thought what was fun to me was that Coach Marion and Coach Garode and Coach Hegeman were all in the weight room pushing the offensive line and the running backs. That's the groups I saw them with. Made me think Marion's finally an offensive coordinator that understands and gets it with the offensive line. You know, that they can't be an afterthought. They got to be right up there. So, you know, he was, you know, giving one guy a hard time. That's not very much weight. You better get that up. But just to see them in there and working with those guys. And the other thing that really caught my attention was Philip Houston squatting. And he was doing deep squats and looked really good. He wasn't doing heavy. It was a 225 6 rep warm up, but he got down deep and was doing the work and looked good. If he's back in shape, I posted on our board, that's if he's back to where that knee is good, that's like picking up another solid offensive tackle out of the portal, you know, because we didn't have him last year. We got him back this year, so that was good to see.
Real quick before you go on to Kylan Salter there, or with Philip Houston. I think people forget that he started the final 9 games of the 24 season.
Yeah.
At tackle. It was pretty solid in that role. Yeah.
Yeah. Played really well. I think, he missed those last two because he got hurt, but then, that's where the walk-on had to play for a while, at that right tackle, because we were so short on guys. But I think what people forget,
he still kept rolling out there starting games though, until the end of that season. But the upright offensive lineman you're talking about, I'm blanking on his name.
Yeah, and I don't want to –
pretty serviceable. Yeah.
Yeah, he actually did really well for a walk-on, you know, and he worked hard and got that opportunity, took advantage of it. But, you know, I think he started that final game, so I think Houston was out for that
final game.
But and I think that, you know, people – what they remember is other guys at right tackle. But I think Philip Houston was a real surprise. He played really well. Going to be over 300 and really be a veteran guy. So I think that gives us a lot of options on that offensive line. I think guys are going to have to really fight their earning position. So that looked good. Kylan Salter, as usual, looks fantastic. You know, you got to translate that into play on the field. I don't know. There seems to be a little more serious air in that weight room now. I think Adam froze up. So
you still got me?
You froze up there with a funny look on your face.
I think I'm here. I don't know what's happening with our internet again. We had an issue a few months ago. Has that happened before?
No.
Okay.
But I feel like, and I don't know, it's hard to say without comparing them side to side. It feels like to me that there's a more serious approach in there this year. But the guys all look good. They're working hard together and getting sort of building that camaraderie that you get through hard work. And so, I don't know. Again, you know, weight room is weight room, and it all looks good. Again, you don't know what's going to be until it gets on the field. But they look good. They look big. They look like they're working hard. Some of those guys coming in really look good. I'm still trying to figure out that, you know, I'm still trying to put faces to names, and I'm like, hey, turn around, let me see your back, you know. But I don't know. No news is good news out of the weight room at this time of year.
Yeah, no doubt. It's good to see Coach Prime lifting weights in there, taking his bike around the track in the IPF there. So, I know he was around this time a year ago, but. The more he has his fingerprints on this program, I think going into a very critical year four the better for this football program. Yeah. I'm curious, who are some of your early picks to shine during spring ball? Because a couple weeks from now, William, they're going to be diving into that.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's you know, there's so many guys that are new. You feel sort of a little bit excitement about everybody. I guess the most obvious guys I would think of is the guys who came with Marion from Sacramento State. You know, so the first two the guys come to my mind are Henderson and Smith at running back, and you know, Ernest Campbell at receiver. Damian Henderson and Jaquale Smith and Ernest Campbell, they're going to know this offense inside and out, so they're going to have a head start on people.
Yeah, that's true.
And you know, Smith and Campbell, the speed speaks for itself. But I am really excited about Damian Henderson. I'm really excited to see Richard Young. You know, I think we've really upgraded that running back room. I think we all want slash need to see Juju Lewis excel in this offense. Joseph Williams, I think, is a proven veteran, you know, looked good last spring. Quentin Gibson, I think, is a guy that's ready to break out, showed some things last season in the regular season. Zach Atkins, I think on defense, you know, I'm going to want to see Santana Hopper, going to be an exciting guy. You know, yeah. I haven't listed any offensive linemen because there's so many of them. You know, I don't know if Jose Soto has an advantage because he knows the offense, but it's all new line coaches. But there's a lot of guys in that offensive line room that I don't know who to be excited about until I see them out there playing. Chauncey Gooden and Yaya Atia, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, they're fun because they've been here a few years, and it's kind of like the old days, you know, when you watch them grow and get better. So I don't know. I guess the guy I want to see is Emmanuel Eziogu, you know, a guy at 260 that can run like that. You know, he'll be
he's got the physical attributes. There's no question about that.
Yeah. You know, Gideon Lampron, I want to see what he does. I want to see if Quentin Wiggins finally shows up, Kylan Salter. So I don't know who's going to shine early, but I think there's a lot of question marks and things that could be very interesting this spring.
I had a bunch of newcomers on my list, and actually Philip Houston was one of them. Because I felt this was a guy that it's kind of he's forgotten about. He was able to apply his red shirt to last season. So unlike a few other guys like Ezra Christensen and Kareem Harden that are kind of on the outside looking in right now, eligibility wise, Philip Houston, it does look like he's going to be able to compete with the Buffaloes this coming season. Another guy that returning guy that's what were you gonna say something else on Philip?
Houston is a sixth-year guy with a lot of playing experience behind him, you know, and it's kind of like BYU when he used to have all those guys that go on missions and come back. You know, those older guys make a big damn difference. That, you know, that extra year at this time, at this age, makes a big difference. So I think Philip Houston's a guy that people should keep an eye on.
Like you said, the Sacramento State transfers might have a little bit of a head start in terms of just based on their knowledge of this offense, but I think DeKalen Taylor, when he figures out his role in this offense, is going to be an incredible player for the go-go offense. And I also had receiver Hakeem Williams, who is another one that it's crazy because he was a five-star recruit coming out of high school, a little bit under the radar, you know, this offseason, just because you're kind of looking at what they're bringing in. But, you know, he was banged up at times last year. When he was out there, he did some nice things. He and Sincere Brown were the only two receivers that blocked worth anything last year. And so I know that Hakeem Williams only played 150 reps, so it was kind of a limited sample size, but he's a senior now, and there's got to be a sense of urgency for him, you would think, right?
Well, and I think also that that brings up another thing that I really want to see and watch is that given Marion's background, we should very much expect to see those wide receivers be very different in blocking this year. So hopefully that shows up right off the bat. And that's another thing. And you mentioned DeKalen Taylor, and I think we finally got an offensive coordinator that understands and knows how to use him. So again, he could be very exciting.
This is in your wheelhouse. Place kicker Elliot Arnold is also on my list. He's a returning walk-on place kicker that I've heard is got a pretty solid leg. Now they brought in Josh McCormick from Grambling State, or I think it's just Grambling now. I think they dropped the state a few years back. He's going to take over as Buck Buchanan's kickoff specialist replacement. But, Alejandro Motta is still in Boulder, but he's training for the NFL. He's not going to get that other year, it doesn't look like. So we'll see if they have a solid option there.
Big Mike on the chat says Emmanuel will be 280 by spring. Well, that may be, and that would be answer some issues with size inside. But he needs to keep that 4.5 speed. If he can run a 4.5 at 280, man, he's going to be a load and hard to for offenses to manage.
Yeah, of the newcomers, I think Justin Englund, a cornerback coming in from James Madison, is a guy that I'm going to have my eye on, as well as safety Randon Fontenette coming in
Fontenette and the variety of ways that we can use him is very exciting to me to see what he does. Another one is Leona Lefau coming in at that linebacker.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those are some guys who can run and do various different things with us. And I think we're going to see an entire very different sort of defense out there this year.
What do you expect to see from Julian Juju Lewis this spring? And how important is this spring for the redshirt freshman?
Well, the first thing I need to see is leadership, both in the weight room and on the field. I need to see him take ownership of the huddle and own that offense on the field and really make sure guys are doing things right. He needs to learn that offense inside and out. He needs to be in there with Marion, and picking his brain. So he really needs to understand the offense. He needs to be able to control those guys, get them lined up, get the ball snapped. And I think really leadership is the biggest thing. And then decision-making would be the next biggest thing. And that's going to come with time and playing in this particular offense. But I really think, we look at last spring and last season and we didn't really ever establish a starting quarterback. So he needs to take that position and make it his in spring with no question marks about it.
Yep. I agree with that. What was your feeling when last season ended with Julian Lewis? It really felt like the optimism that a lot of people were feeling was warranted based on some of the throws he made.
Yeah, I think the talent is there for sure. I think with quarterbacks, it's not always the arm talent. It's really the brain talent and ability to see defenses and stay calm under pressure. Heard a quarterback coach say one time, it's all great in 7-on-7, but can you do it with a 280-pound guy that runs a 4-5 coming at you? Can you read a defense of guys at the P4 level who are going to pick off passes that you threw at the high school level? And so you have to learn that. And I think he got enough playing time last year to sort of figure out some of that. So I thought he came out of the season. In retrospect, maybe it should, he wasn't there. He wasn't particularly ready early in the season. Maybe they should have thrown him in there and see what happens. I don't know, but I think it worked out okay for this season that he got enough playing time to build up confidence without problems that would break that confidence.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is that Julian came in at a very young age and deferred to a veteran senior in Caden Salter. And you kind of started to see that maturation process accelerate when he was finally, given those opportunities to play and to start football games. And I don't know if I've seen more growth out of a player in one season at the University of Colorado than we saw out of Julian last year. But you're right. Early in the season, that would have been unfair to him, really, And if they go to 5-for-5 at some point, maybe that red shirt doesn't matter. But I think last season was kind of a loss at the end of it. It was like, let's just get to the off season.
Yeah. Well, he reminds me a lot of back 88, I guess, with Darian Hagan, who was a super highly recruited quarterback, but when we had Sal Nessie, he was clearly the starting quarterback, So that year he kind of took a back seat and there was talk of him moving to running back or whatever. And then, Sal got cancer, man. And that next spring and summer, Darian, too bad, man, you got to take it. You're in, you're the guy now, And that first game against Texas, they were ranked in the top 10 and he took the first play and went 80 yards, got tackled at the 1-yard line. And that was it, he just took it on and made it his. And, you know, Juju Lewis not going to be a guy that's going to run 80 yards probably the first time he gets the ball, but he just needs to make smart decisions, and he needs to be the unquestioned leader of this team. And you'll know when you see it, you know, and it is right for him to come in last year and take a backseat to some of the older guys. That's done now. Okay. You are one of the older guys, even though you're not, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. And, this is a tangent off what you just said. I'm glad you brought up Darren Hagan. I know he's now coaching at San Diego State. You got to retire that guy's number at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. Come on.
He's like the first guy, one of the first guys in NCAA history to run and pass for 2,000 yards both in the same season, or 1,000 yards in the same season. And, you know, he's the forgotten glue of that 90 and 91 teams, you know, that were undefeated and then won a national championship. And Darren was never like, you know, the guy with the fire in the belly was Eric Bieniemy, but the guy who was the quiet glue of the whole thing and never really beat his own drum. You know, you kind of didn't notice him until he did something crazy on the field. You know, it was Darren Hagan. You know, you had on that team, you had two ginormous personalities in Alfred Williams and Eric Bieniemy, and they often butted heads in practice and workouts or whatever. And Darian was kind of the guy, you know, him. So Darian Hagan on offense and Mike Jones at Mike linebacker on the defense were kind of those quiet dudes that kind of held everything together with all those big egos, you know. Darian was a magician in the option, you know. Just you know, Bill McCartney used to say we'd get down, you know, third and goal inside the 5 yard line, and we'd just run the triple option and laugh at you.
Yeah. Special player. If you are a newer Colorado fan, Google Darian Hagan or put him on YouTube, and you'll see what we're talking about here.
Truly just a good guy. You know, just a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. John Snelson did a really good feature with him going back to his house in South Central Los Angeles and kind of sharing his story as well. That's another – if you haven't seen that video, it's must watch. To really absorb the history of CU football. And this is clearly the least excitement we've had in the Coach Prime era, because comes in with a lot of fanfare, even though they struggled down the stretch in 2023. You know, you still had Shador and you had Travis and you had this building optimism going into 24. And then you win 9 games, Heisman Trophy, and then 25, things kind of fall apart a little bit just from misevaluations through the portal and not having the leadership in this program. And how do the Buffaloes get excitement back? Because I think it's clearly missing at this point.
Yeah. Well, let me – before that, there's a message on the board I want to talk about. If you can pick one up from Sean Hump, talked about Gunnar White, talking about violent double teams, because I think that's an important distinction to mention. Can you find it there?
Yep, got it here.
And
Sean Hump said, Gunnar Hunt said, oh yeah, go ahead.
Gunnar White said on Neely's podcast they'll have a lot of violent double teams. They didn't do that at all last year. Well, that wasn't part of Shermer's offense. You know, Shermer's offense was not a run first offense, and when we did run well, he stopped calling those plays. But our runs were more zone misdirection kinds of things rather than just put two guys on a guy and knock his ass into the dirt, you know? So people think that Marion's offense is a lot more finesse or whatever. I don't know, but Marion's offense is about running the ball when you want to run the ball. And when you run the ball, you damn well better be physical and violent. So those kinds of double teams, you know, whether it's guard, center, guard, tackle, tight end, I think you're going to see a lot more of those and try to blow out the line of scrimmage this particular year. And I think the biggest advantage for the offensive line this year, two things: continuity with the same three coaches back, and then an offensive coordinator who has an offensive line friendly system. And, you know, trying to drop back, you know, 40 times a game is asking an offensive line a lot. But when you let them line up and tee off and pound on dudes, that's what they want to do. You know, that's what they want to do, even more than pass protection. So I think that's a really good point that Sean made there. And something to watch for in spring is how this offensive line is going to be different. And I'm going to tell you something. You want a guy who could teach people how to get off the ball and knock people in the dirt. Andre Giroud was that dude. I keep watching that, you know, that Nebraska beatdown in 2001, 2063 or whatever. And that one play, Sean Brown's fifth touchdown, where Andre Giroud took that outside linebacker, drove him all the way through the end zone and pinned him against the fence behind the end zone.
Yeah, he was a road grader. There's no doubt about that. In fact, I was doing an interview with Ryan Miller, a former five-star Buff that played in the NFL for a while. And, you know, just his admiration for former CU players, including guys like Andre Giroud and some of the people that have made a big impact on him.
Yeah.
It kind of brought up some nostalgia, and we don't need to go down the negative route of where college football is right now. But yeah. I do think that lends into something that I was asking you about a couple minutes ago, William, is just the excitement. And most of that with CU fans is their record this past year. But there is also some people that are disenfranchised with the sport. Can we get this excitement back, you think? Is it just simply wins and losses, and you get enough wins and that excitement comes back?
Yeah, I think, you know, we were plenty excited in 24. I think this is the time of year when there's nothing going on. And, you know, you get all built up over transfer portal and then the signing day and whatever. And now it's just like, you know, weight room stuff, same as last year, blah, blah, blah. There's not really anything to be excited about. And then you get back into spring ball and some interest and excitement starts to pick up again because guys start to show up and show out. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of things about the sport itself that turn people off now, and that'll lose some people, but it's still got some of the highest TV ratings in all sports. People are watching the damn game. It'll be a lot more fun to me if CU is winning regularly. You know, when you're putting up a 3-win season, what is there to be excited about? You know, so I'm hoping that this year, without the distraction of a medical crisis, you know, fighting for his life, Coach Prime, learned some lessons and brings in got a new staff, and that excitement will come back. Excitement goes with wins, man. I've been saying this for 40 years, you know, and I remember first seeing this with guys like Bear Bryant and coaches like that. It's like, you win games, you can do whatever the hell you want, and people will still love you. You know, you could be a first rate son of a bitch, and I'm not saying Bear Bryant was that guy, but when you win a lot of games, you get a lot of forgiveness. You know, because that's what the sport's about. At the end of the day, go out and win the damn games and have bragging rights, you know, and not look stupid wearing your CU stuff or whatever. So I don't worry about the excitement level too much. You know, hell, I'm 61, man. And you know, the one constant thing in life is things change. And if you can't deal with things changing, I don't know what to tell you, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and things at some point can change for the better. It just is. Yeah. Going to be a very difficult process to get to that point because of some of the hurdles that are in the way. You know, this is a sport that it's not on life support yet, but we got to figure some stuff out here in the coming decade.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it'll adapt or it won't, but I don't see the sport going away anytime soon, whatever. I think what was special about college football was the connection to the campuses and the pageantry and all that kind of stuff. And so, there's still some of that, I don't know, but on a more micro level, you looking at, if you're just a CU fan, there's a lot to be excited about here, man. You know, I mean, I don't know if it'll work out, you know, but we got a lot of players in here we got some talent in here, and I'm excited about some of the coaches we brought in too. You know, well, again, we don't know if it'll play out well, and we got to wait and see who the defensive tackles coach is, but I'm excited to have three offensive line coaches back for the first time in damn near a decade, you know, a bunch of new players. Yeah. I don't know. I think there's plenty to be excited about as a CU fan. I'm not going to sit here and predict 9 wins. I don't know what the hell we're going to do. I'm not ready to make any kind of prediction at this point, but I think there's a lot to be excited about, you know, and some of the things we can talk about today, you know, you got guys like Iziogu and Campbell and some guys who just flat out freaking run, you know, and it's been the thing for 50 years. Speed is the difference. You know, I mean, a guy like Randon Fontanette, man, you know, that's exciting. Guy like Gideon Lamprun, that's exciting. It is to me, but then I'm just a dumb old guy. Boo Carter, you know, that's a guy that can change games instantaneously. So I don't know. People get mad at me because I'm optimistic. Sorry, that's who I am. I'm not going to stop being that guy.
Well, I'm not going to temper your enthusiasm any. You know what it makes me excited, William?
What's that?
Taco Bell. It is Taco Tuesday, so it really is perfect timing for this announcement. Taco Bell, they're excited to share that they are officially bringing back the iconic Quesarito for a limited time. And you know what that means for Denver fans, because Nikola Jokic was drafted by the Denver Nuggets with the 41st pick in the NBA draft. And during this time, the telecast had cut out to commercial, which featured the launch of Taco Bell's Quesarito. So this cemented a legacy connection between Taco Bell and the Joker. And the Joker is now officially tied to the Quesarito. And he's a believer. So if you're a Nuggets fan, a Buffs fan, Taco Bell has been supporting sports across the Front Range. And this is a great way to support your local favorite team. Even better is that Taco Bell has brought back its spicy volcano sauce to pair with the Quesarito to take up the heat another level. So get to Taco Bell and celebrate the Joker and pick up the Volcano Quesarito today. And while you're at it, don't forget to grab something from Taco Bell's crispy chicken menu. It could be a taco, burrito, or strips. Taco Bell's crispy chicken delivers every single time. And with the football playoffs taking full effect, be the hero of the party, and don't forget to pick up a crispy chicken game day pack featuring chicken strips, soft tacos, and Taco Bell's amazing nacho fries. This is definitely a winning combination. Live Moss at Taco Bell. And on Taco Tuesday, you can really get bang for your buck with a $7 Supreme Lux box. It's going to come with a beefy five-layer burrito, chicken chalupa Supreme, crunchy taco, and cinnamon twist. I know it's going to be William Gardner's next order when he goes to Taco Bell. All right. Yeah, I actually got Taco Bell last week. I went with a beefy potato loaded griller. It was pretty solid, man. Very tasty.
Yeah, hard to go wrong. I got the kid at home and the girlfriend's in India, believe it or not. So we just get a lot of Taco Bell these days.
Nice. Have you, did you mix it up, or you've kind of had a similar,
pretty much the same thing?
Okay.
Yeah.
You got the boxes, build your own Lux box for $6.99. You can create basically what you want in your box, which is a great offer there. William, we got to get into some recruiting stuff here. There's actually been quite a bit of news that has come down here recently. Starting with Devon Derrico, who has given a commitment to the Buffaloes. He committed to Colorado. They had a 2027 commit in Dolph McDonald. He decommitted, so now they're back to one again with Devon Derrico coming on board. Some solid offers in there. You'll love to see the Indiana offer in 2026 and Florida State, you know, another top program. Do you want to go through his film here?
Yeah, and I want people to keep an eye out for the second play. If you can make that big,
there's a first play here. Yeah,
yeah. And this both announced. Now hold, free this for a second. Okay. Good. Now stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
I got you.
No, you didn't stop it. I told you to stop. Hold on.
Well, it's huddle. It doesn't.
Yeah. There. So this reminds me. This play reminds me a lot of Travis Hunter, you know, coming off of one guy and making a play on the other guy. You know, he didn't run back and make the interception, but it's the same kind of football awareness and ability to change directions and come back and make a play. So this is an exciting play to me.
Wow. Yeah.
Because that wasn't even his guy and he just laid him in the dirt.
Just instincts. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and then he picks it up in stride and takes it back, you know. So, you know, he's got his head in the game. He understands the game, you know, plays a little bit of everything for him. He comes off the edge as a pass rusher, you know, man to man on the corner there, obviously, you know, not necessarily the biggest guy. You know, I think I've seen him lately listed 5'11", 170 or so. But there's no question.
He told me he's 5'9" and a half.
Okay. No question about his ability to play the game, though, you know, and he throws that body around. He's got no, he's fearless. I think a little playing the little nickel there.
Unless he hits the growth spurt, does he have to play nickel in college at that size?
No, I don't think so necessarily. He's got good ball skills and good position and technique. I don't know. You know, there's some shorter guys playing that. He has to be the boundary corner. He could be, you know, slot corner, whatever, a lot of different things you could do with him, but he's a guy with football instincts. Watch this play. The speed on this is just nuts. You know, he got good vision. He doesn't mess around. He just gets upfield and it's
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets moving in a hurry.
I thought he was going to beat that guy with the angle there for a second. So, you know, he's got good game awareness. So, like, you know, he's supposed to have that outside receiver, but he'd be playing.
What was that quarterback trying to do there?
Oh, God, no. Somebody ran the wrong route, I'm sure.
Goodness gracious. Okay. But, yeah, right. No, a good get. And I should mention that he is from Miami, Florida, at Killian High School. He's currently number 57 on the 24/7 Sports Florida State ranking. So, you know, that's one of the more talent-rich states. So that's a little bit lower than – I might take the 57 guy from Florida over the second guy from Colorado most years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Plus, they're going to throw a lot more down there with legitimate offenses and legitimate receivers. So he's going to have a lot of experience coming in.
All right. We have gotten some more not commitments, but guys that have committed to take an official visit with the Buffaloes. And one of them is offensive tackle LaMarcus Jones from Jackson, Mississippi, goes to Callaway High School. He's going to take a trip to Kentucky as well. Let's go through his film a little bit and get your thoughts.
Yeah, he's a guy, he's big and long and lean. He's 6'5", listed 285, but he looks very skinny to me. He's 74. You can't really see him. He's going to be the left. No, he's 70. He's the left tackle. So here you see him a lot better. He's the most ginormous guy on the field, right? So this is a run play, and that's a pretty solid run block. You look at his lower body, and he got a lot of weight to put on down there. So he's going to be a 320 guy. Very good run blocker here. Not the most athletic or agile guy, but you see the nastiness, and he plays and puts guys on the ground and enjoys it. You know, here he is again, another guy in the dirt. Just look at that, you know, that kind of nasty is what I'm looking for. You know, you
gotta have that's the definition of pancake right there.
Yeah, and you gotta have, you know, gotta be a limit on it. You go a little too far, you get a penalty. But that kind of aggressiveness on offensive line, I'm not 100% sold on him as a tackle. Maybe of a right tackle, but he'd be a hell of a guard too. He's certainly got the height and the length to be a tackle. I'm not sure he's got the athleticism, but he's a hell of a run blocker and could be a guard or a right tackle. That's not bad. Oh, okay. People will say that's holding, but it's not. He got inside hands, and he just let the guy's own lean and momentum take him down. And this team doesn't do a whole lot of pass protection in the traditional sense that I see in this film. So it's hard for me to say whether he's really going to be a left tackle in college like he is here, but you see him come off the ball pretty good right there. That kid wanted no part of him.
He's got mentality. There's no question about that.
Yeah. And for a guy 6'5", you know, he gets a little upright after a few steps, but his first couple steps, he stays relatively low, decently low, you know, and that can be taught as well, but you can see in his stance, he can bend his knees and get his butt down because he's flat back right there, you know, and they're, you know, abusing another kid. I don't know. When you really see good offensive line film, sometimes you want to have the police come in.
Yeah. There's an assault taking place on the field. There's no doubt about it.
Here he is. And this shows, you know, That's pretty good pursuit as a defensive lineman. He will not play defensive line at this level. He just doesn't have the athleticism. But he's really perfect for the offensive line. That's the kind of punch on pass protection that you like to see, where you just put him on the ground. No pass rush after that. So he's an exciting prospect. You know, and he's a guy, he's got Ole Miss – Alabama, Auburn, Cincinnati. So a lot of people after him from Callaway High School in Jackson, Mississippi. But we've been doing pretty good in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is a guy that you bring in, and you know, he could play 4 out of 5 positions, I think. You know, I'm not sure he's see, right, you know, he hasn't been tested on this film. I never see him tested as a pass protector by anybody with real athleticism, so it's hard to tell. Because it's not a pass oriented offense for the most part in what we see here. So that's pretty nice right there. So he's got interesting film. He's certainly got the size. He's going to be 320 easily. So he's a pretty exciting prospect, I think, regardless of where he ends up on the offensive line, and we'll have to steal him away. You know, it looks like Kentucky might be leading on that at this point, but
he's coming out to Boulder. So is King Thibodeau from Garland, Texas. He goes to Lakeview Centennial. He's a 4-star recruit on both 247 Sports and the composite ranking, top 30 Texas recruit. Again, a lot of power for offers here, and we'll jump into his film a little bit here.
Yeah, and he's 6'2", he's 6'2", 260. And he's a guy, you watch this film, and he will play every position on the line. He'll show up at everything from nose. Here he's an edge guy, like a defensive end. Really good football awareness. You'll see him as a stand-up outside linebacker. Right now, there he's on the nose. And I love that strike and drive that guy back. You know, once you've reestablished the line of scrimmage as a defensive lineman, you're going to have some opportunities. Here is a stand-up outside linebacker, and he just follows the blocker going back on that cross block and does exactly what he's supposed to do.
Derek, is he a three technique typically, unless it's a passing situation?
I don't know. You know, I don't know his exact speed or anything, but he might end up being he could be a 3 or 5 and out an edge kind of a guy. I think at 260 is more of an edge guy, but if he bulks up to 290, he could be an inside guy. He really does pretty well at all those positions here, frankly. You know, I don't know, where are we on the time? Can you put your, yeah, so we're at 115. So yeah, that play right there was the one I was looking for, where that, you know, they pulled their lineman and he just followed him right down the line, which is exactly what you teach him to do. You know, here he is again on the edge in a 4-man line. He gets, you know, so that play almost might have been a mistake, because I think he probably had contained, but he did a really good job getting inside leverage on that guy and making a play. And you see him a lot here taking on tight double teams.
Okay, he sheds blocks really well.
Well, that big kid is way too slow to ever block this kid. but there's a tight. See, that's how you do a double team. You get that one shoulder through, that one arm through, and you split those guys and come right up the seam. So that's really, he's really well coached on that. There he just drives that guy back and shows physicality. He's got a lot of different things. He had a swim move on the very first play on this film. They try to kind of trap him on that one, and that didn't work because he takes on pulls very well. There's a nice little swim move, gets inside that guy. So that's in a 5 technique right there, outside shoulder to the tackle. He just splits right between those guys and comes down the line and makes the play. You know, here's – he's got a very good ability to split through the gaps in the line. So they get, that gives this defense some options, because they go 3-man, they go 4-man, you know, and he's very patient there, and he realized he had contained, because he initially had an alley on the inside, and if he'd have done that, the quarterback could have gone out. So he really had good presence of mind right there to hold his ground and force that guy outside and still make the play.
Almost looks like they're playing Cherry Creek there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks like. So there he is as a stand-up, and really knocks that tackle down, or that tight end down the line, and creates an edge. Again, stands this guy up. You know, he's a 92 rated 4-star guy, so that's a beautiful play right there. He gets outside shoulder on that guy and then, you know, extends his left arm, kind of a long arm technique. Yeah, that's just not going to work. You know, that kid playing that center for this position, he's a big kid, but he does not have a lot of system to pick this guy up. That's going to be a long day for that team. That's a nice play. He just extends him with his arms, a little push-pull, and the guy puts his weight on him, and you just let him follow his own momentum. There's another one. He just follows the pulling guard right to the ball.
So that's there. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of exciting stuff there. There's a reason why Mr. Thibodeau is highly recruited. You know, he's out of Garland, Texas, and Arizona State, Arkansas, Baylor. You know, so I think we got a good shot at him.
Kenny Fairley from Fairburn, Georgia, at Creekside High School, has also said that he's going to visit the Buffaloes. He will be in Boulder the weekend of June 5th. Not rated at this point. Let's get into his film.
Yeah. Hold on before you start it. I watched this and wrote a little thing on our board, and it's pretty impressive film. And you'll see him dominate the way you want to see a future power four defensive tackle dominate. He's very violent and physical. He's well coached. He's really athletic for a big guy. Uses his hands well. He's got a rip move. He's got a swim move. And he even shows a counter club, which is pretty well, I'll show you when we get there to 640 mark what that means. Sets a guy up with a fake inside and then calls him to the side. But there are several plays here at 37 seconds, a minute 15, 4:56, where he just pushes the offensive lineman back. He's listed 6'1", 280, but he looks pretty lean to me and got room for more size. I obviously don't know about his height, but he looking at his at a photo of him, he looks like he got pretty good arm length. So there's a lot of good to see here. Not a good offer list, but I think people will start to warm up on this guy.
All right, let's dive into it.
He just blew up that double team, put one guy on his backside, and you're going to see a lot of that in this film. And he's another guy that plays a little bit of everything along the defensive line as well. He was as an edge right there. Here he's on the nose or the one technique, it looks like. Just clubs that guy to the side. Now look at the athleticism to almost run that guy down. Quick shift. And again, able to redirect. You know, he gets through the line. Watch this one. He's going to beat that kid. That's what I like to see from a defensive tackle at the high school level to play at this level. So he's got a nice stance, comes out of his stance well. There's a really nice swim move right there. Really technically sound. Really held his ground on what was clearly trying to be a screen pass on that one, which is sometimes hard to teach. There he's on the nose.
You see any block bullying him?
Not big enough. Not really that guy, unless he gets a lot bigger. He's far more athletic than block bully. So he's a guy. Let me answer that again. Yes, there is some in the way he beats up some of these offensive linemen, but I don't think that's primarily his game.
Okay.
Unless he gets up, you know, over 300, he might be, but he's got enough athleticism that he can actually do things and make things happen in the backfield. Right there, that looked like block bully. See what he did to that guy?
Yeah.
You know, so see, like right there, that's just so athletic. He just basically moves around, runs right around that guy. You can't single team him at this level. But he's a guy who can be a lot of things. Watch this one. There again, just stood that guy, mauled him, and then got off the block, you know.
That'll test your manhood, which just took place there.
Yeah. And that was beautiful, a little swim move. Then they try to hit him with a running back, and he beat that guy, and just a diving. He plays with – there's another one. Just beat that kid up.
Yeah.
So, there is some block bully there in the way
– I was thinking more from the leverage standpoint
of
how he kind of plays the game.
See, there again, that's a nice swim move, and shorter guys generally tend to struggle with swim moves, but he does it just really nicely. There's another one. So that's two plays in a row with a really sweet swim move. And – you know, he get a double team there and held his ground. He didn't move him an inch, you know, and he just worked his way down the line and made a tackle for no gain. That was nice. So he got his hands up in there and just threw that guy to the side. He's on the nose again here. And I like his relentlessness. He goes to the whistle on every play. Some of these high school films, it's like you're filming it from outer space. But that's a nice redirection for a guy his size to change direction. That's almost a jump cut like a running back. He's one of those guys, you know, at 6'1", 280, the way he moves, he's a load to deal with at this level. You know, he comes up to our level. We'll see how that translates. But here they almost try to triple team him. The whole line, he just splits the whole damn thing and causes a fumble there.
This looks like blue chip film to me, no?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is I don't understand why he doesn't have the Power Four offers because it's, I don't know, maybe it's a low level. I don't know, where is he from? He's from, I don't think I have his page up. He's from Georgia, right? So that's Georgia yeah. most.
No,
Georgia
he's got solid competition.
Pretty high yeah. level, yeah, yeah. You know, and he's eating these guys alive, you know, and there's some big guys he takes on and beats. But his athleticism for that size speaks for itself to me. And his violence and what he does with his hands. You know, yeah, you're not going to block that kid with a running back. And there, that shows the athleticism because they do a little stunt there. And they do a little Texas stunt, and he goes to the outside and gets and pressures the quarterback from the long way around the loop. Just push that guy back and destroyed that play. You know, you get a guy that can move a center or a guard backwards, and you're going to blow up a lot of offensive plays.
Yeah, his team, they won the state championship in Georgia.
Okay.
This past season, ranked 19th nationally on max preps. They were 15-0. So.
Run that play back real quick if you could.
This one here?
Yeah.
Next one?
No. The one before that. Yeah, this one. Watch him come off the ball and just now the one before yeah, the one before it.
Okay.
Given what I see on the film, the lack of offers to me suggests that he's maybe not 6'1". That there has to be size issues that people are worried about. But I don't know, you know, I didn't measure him myself, so who knows? He certainly can play, you know, if he's really only 5'11", then that's going to scare a lot of people off. I don't know. But I don't know if that's true or not. You know, he's listed at 6'1". I don't have any reason not to believe that, but he certainly got the length and uses his hands well enough to get things done here. Yeah, I don't know where that play went that I wanted to see, but it's.
I've known some defensive tackles coaches that want guys that are on the shorter end from a leverage.
Yeah, possibly standpoint. for that inside. You know, I mean, block bully Wankwell was 5'11", you know, and he did a really good job. Jordan Carroll was probably 6 foot and he got drafted. You know, so there's a place for those guys, especially in the interior line where they got leverage and they can get underneath everything. But there's got to be a reason to have this film. I mean, look at that athleticism. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
For a guy his size. To have this film and not have more Power Four offers is kind of crazy to me. So there's got to be something. But look at him run there. Run that down the line and make the play. Just long arm that guy and got rid of him. Nice swim move there. Beautiful. I mean, this is really pretty film. I mean, it's really technically sound, physical, and violent. Stood that kid up, took on the other guy. It looks like North Carolina. got an inside shoulder on that guy. Look at this. So he played that like a linebacker. Yeah. He played that like a linebacker. Well, you got.
I don't think that's going to happen at the college level.
Because no, probably not.
Guys are going to be faster, but yeah, no.
That's, 6'1", 280 guy in the high school level that could do that. You could do a lot of things with him.
Yeah.
You, there again, just split that double team, just the way you want to do it, which take on that seam between the two shoulders. Oops. Okay, now if I'm that quarterback, I'm going to need a new pair of underwear after them. See that guy.
Yeah, folks are listening to the podcast version of this. You got to tune into YouTube and watch the videos.
Hey, that was it. Go back, run this playback. Stop it right there and go back to that.
Okay. After this one?
Yeah, I think so. If it's a yeah, this one right here. Now he's right there, and if you I don't know if you can point to him, but he's already starting to move, and see his left foot is taking a step to the inside. The ball's been snapped. He's taking that step to the left to set up that offensive guard to move to his right. And when that guy gets off balance, moving to his right, watch him. Watch. I'm sorry. What's his name again?
Fairley. Kenny Fairley.
Watch Fairley club him with his right arm and just knock him out of the hole. This is what's called a counter club move, and it's pretty advanced. And watch how he does this, turns his whole body and puts everything into this. So I think this is a really, really advanced move. Boom. And you don't have to knock the guy on the ground. You just knock his shoulder out of the way and create a hole.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's a very advanced move, and I'm excited that he is able to do that kind of thing at this point in his career. Yeah, he crosses the face on that guy really nicely. He does a little rip move to get through there, but he was originally going left, redirected to the right, and got a hurry on that one. So I think there's a lot about that kid, you know, at 6'1", 180, that's exciting, you know, and I think he's going to blow up and be somebody that people really go after.
Khalil Taylor is also scheduled to visit the Buffaloes. He's going to come to Boulder May 15th. He's also got visits scheduled with Georgia for May 29th, Syracuse for June 19th, and prior to that, Penn State June 5th. So he was committed to Penn State early in the process, but when James Franklin was fired from Penn State, he reopened his recruitment, a four-star recruit, ranked number 4 in Pennsylvania this cycle, 65th nationally on the composite. Let's get into
it. Before you start this film, hold on, don't start it yet. Start it. Don't stop it.
I'll go back.
So this first play, now this kid being recruited as a wide receiver at 5'11", but this first play, he's playing a boundary corner, and he's going to make an end zone to end zone interception return. What I want you to watch here is, first of all, the coverage and the interception in the end zone here. And then he's going to come back, and you're going to watch him with moves and spin moves. And what's impressive to me is he can accelerate to full speed almost instantly, which he makes people look silly on this interception return. And then he's going to go to wide receiver. And I want you to watch, there's one play where another guy scores a touchdown, and this guy just turns on the jets and gets the block that frees him. And he's as excited about making that block as he would have been to make the touchdown. I love that.
Yeah. Here we go.
So he's got the pink sleeves there, easy to see, and just a hell of a move on that. And then you think he's not going to get anywhere. Watch this. A little spin move, sorry. And then just turns it on and gone. Runs away from that kid like he's standing still. I think that's a really impressive run back, and speaks well to his ability to make things happen. You know, here he's at that.
He's got that effortlessness athleticism that,
and the other thing
makes a guy like me very jealous.
Well, he makes tough catches. So like that first catch, he had to really reach out with a one-handed catch. This one, he had to come back to it. So you don't have to make things perfect. This is the one. So he watching number 0 right there. Watch him get downfield. Look at him hustle. Make this block. Now watch him. He's as excited about making that block as he is about the guy making the touchdown.
Now he's punting the football.
I mean, I wrote down, this kid's film was amazing. I mean, I'm surprised he doesn't bring the water out at halftime. You know what I mean? Play some quarterback. Really does a little bit of everything. It's no wonder he's a 97 composite. You know, this is a guy, you know, I don't know.
That's a cool-looking high school stadium right there.
Yeah.
Man.
He's up in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh. So,
yeah.
You're not going to be bothered by cold weather.
Went to Pittsburgh last year, this past year for the West Virginia game. Seems like a pretty solid town. Yeah. I like Pittsburgh.
You see him just outrun that guy with the angle right there, but he does a little, you know. So here he's a up guy, and the guy pitches the ball back to him on the kickoff return, and he just finds those holes and runs through them.
Oh, poor kid.
No chance. No kicker ain't tackling me. That ain't happening. Go back on the sideline. eat a donut. But there's a lot of plays in this film of him as a return guy, and this guy is super dangerous in just about any role. You know, just speed down the sideline here, but just a really exciting player. Wide receiver, could play defensive back for you. Could be a two-way guy. I mean, there's a lot of Travis Hunter in this guy. And he's rated pretty highly that way too. And here he goes again. You know, gone. Don't throw against this kid in the end zone. I'm telling you, man. That's that's twice in 100, this film.
108 yard return there.
Nice. Yeah, and that was the second one in this film, you know.
Yeah. He's a playmaker. There's no question
about it. Just really has good vision of the field and sees where people goes. And I don't know. He just, you know, it's hard to watch this film and not be super excited about it. See that explosive acceleration?
Yeah.
I mean, it just he waits, gets the ball on the bounce, and still watching the coverage come down. And then when he sees the opening, he just hits it. Nice concentration there, stays in bounds. See, that just keeps his toes in there and makes that a good catch. I mean, there's just – this guy is a very complete player, and I don't mean just wide receiver. I mean defensive back and returner as well. With a hand in his face, makes that catch.
His body control is pretty incredible.
It's phenomenal. If you watch some of those long returns, you know, he makes little adjustments, little lean here to set a guy up, little lean there to set a guy up. And great ball skills too. And, you know, watch how he keeps his feet, dragged his feet on that one to get the touchdown. I like when he wears a pink sleeve so I can see him. You know, and a lot of guys wouldn't make that catch because of the defensive guy almost got a hand on it. You know, he had to change his route entirely. This is a nice little screen pass, and he, you know, that. Okay, I'm gonna give kudos to that lineman right
58,
there.
58, yeah,
77. Put that guy on the ground way downfield. Okay. Yeah, that's just a blown coverage right there. You can't leave that guy uncovered. I don't know. It's just a lot of fun to watch this sort of stuff.
Yeah, I feel like they've got a great group of guys coming in for visits early on.
Yeah,
the cycle.
This is an interesting offense. They don't really run the ball, but boy, they got some good passing concepts, and they get the ball to guys who can make things done. You know, that little kid playing corner's got to be like, get. Like, man, coach, I'm hurt. Kid looks like he should be in third grade.
There was a message being sent there, I feel
like. Yeah. It's like, back it up. And sometimes you got to do that, you know?
Yeah.
And I like a wide receiver who plays that way, you know? That kid just didn't want to get hit right there. Oh, he got hurt, I guess. Get out of here. He misjudged that when he had to go back and get it. And no, Mr. Punter, you're not going to make that play. I mean, it's just nuts as a return guy. He's, you know. There's that body control. See how the hips shift and the upper body does not?
Yep.
He does things, you know, his top half and his bottom half do different things. And it's really, I don't know if people really understand how exciting that is to see.
If he's got the right people in his life, this kid's going to be a player.
Yeah. See that? He just set that guy up, bent him a little bit inside, and then went outside, you know, gave this guy a chance to block for him. I like the way he sets up his blockers and gives them an opportunity to help him out. He's just a really complete player. Yeah, no, you don't have me. You don't have me either. I mean, is this crazy? I mean, I told you, this film is just sick, silly. It's almost, it's crazy how good this guy is. here's another kid going, yeah, why am I having to cover this guy? That's a nice adjustment to the ball right there. And that quarterback put it in a nice spot for him. You can have a hard time covering a guy like this. I think he's on defense here, right? Where is he?
Yeah. They have him at, is he corner. Corner? Yeah.
At the top up there.
Yep. Bang, bang.
Yeah, see that physicality? No, that wasn't him. That was zero. He's number eight. Okay. So, yeah. So stopping it. Very, very nice routes. And then look, nice adjustment. Understands the game. I mean, the kid understands the game. He knew what to do right there. Come back to your quarterback first, and then when the guy comes with you, you break downfield. Give your guy a place to throw. Very nice contested catch right there. Man, I don't, you know, how many times in 20 years have you heard me rave about a wide receiver?
A few times, but yeah, this is some next level stuff right here.
Yeah.
I remember we were gushing about LaVisca Chenault back in the day, right? We were ones kind of clamoring that this was the most underrated player in the country.
Yeah. At one point, his brother had more attention than he did, which is kind of nuts. Hey, they finally ran the ball. I guess.
See, he is wearing zero at times. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he is wearing zero. So I was right about it. He was that guy. Look at that. Oh, my God. There is no way he should have made that run. Yes, he's now back and now an eight here. Nice block, put that guy down.
I like when receivers put that stuff on their film.
Yeah.
As opposed to just the standard catches.
It almost looks like he wears zero when he goes defense.
I mean, this might be a silver jersey guy at CU.
Totally. Absolutely. Look at the physicality there. Oh, my God. Yeah, you're not going downfield. You can't even get loose to go run against this kid in the bump and run. Yeah, he just shuts him down, doesn't give him a chance to get off the line. I mean, it's very easy to see why he's so highly rated. He's put a whole section of his film up in here just showing this. You know, what he can do without the ball, which I think is impressive.
Yeah.
It didn't work out so well.
I think it's clear to say watching this film, he's a dog, right? He's born to play the game of football.
He's got kind of an attitude, you know, whether it's blocking or coverage. I mean, he would rather just stop you on the line. Wow. You know, and the physicality of his punch right there is amazing. You know, for a guy 5'11", 180, I mean, this guy plays like a linebacker, for God's sakes. So he just really brings a lot to the table and is an exciting guy. You know, looks like Penn State may be in the lead, which makes sense if he's from Pennsylvania. But
he committed there. I think he's pretty open at this point. I think it's going to be pretty close. But, I mean, you do have him going out to Georgia. So you're going to have that NIL component, and we've still got some months for other teams to try to get him on campus. But this is a guy you invest in, I think, Khalil Taylor from Pittsburgh,
Pennsylvania. I mean, because this is a guy that's going to do a lot of things for you, but just an exciting player all the way around, you know, and hopefully, you know, Coach Prime got to put some time on this kid. I think it's exciting, some of these guys that we're bringing in on this particular visit, this particular set of games and such. So not games, but I think it's exciting. Some of the guys we're bringing in.
We've got two more to run through here real quick. Receiver Jaden Baldwin from Chandler, Arizona. He goes to Basha High School, and he's also got that Indiana offer, Missouri, Pittsburgh, Vanderbilt, some of the other schools after him early in the process. 6'1". 180 pounds as a receiver. He is currently ranked top 10 in Arizona on the composite, a three-star recruit currently.
Derek Getty has nice route running and good body control, and then just turns on the jets. You surprised me with this one. He wasn't on the list originally to get to do my homework.
Oh, my bad. my bad. Yeah, we'll go through these films. Because there were a couple others that came out after I had put together our plan for today. You're seeing him be a little bit more of a traditional receiver, right, than Khalil was in the last segment.
Sort of a taller outside receiver. I don't know. You know, it's kind of hard to follow Khalil Taylor and have the same level of excitement.
Yeah. I mean, are they speeding this film up? That always drives me nuts when they do that. It definitely seems like it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. You can see. Yeah. And there's no reason to. You just let the speed. It doesn't give you an advantage. I don't know.
Yeah. Found a good crease in the zone there. Yeah. He's got that long stride when he gets it going.
Well, and he accelerates pretty fast too.
Although it's hard to tell with this footage because it's very choppy.
Yeah.
Good balance there.
Yeah. Well, he's a good athlete, and you know, there's a reason why he's got offers from Indiana, Missouri, Pitt, and Vanderbilt, and places like that. You know, he's a good player. Still looks pretty wide open as far as where his interest is, but you know, 6'1", 180, and he plays well.
But you're right. He's not as explosive. He's kind of more, would you say like Bryce Bobo maybe ish kind of, maybe not quite as tall.
Not quite as tall. Maybe a little more polished in high school. You know, Bobo kind of had to learn some things after he got here. But I don't know, you know, basically a traditional 6'1 wide receiver gets, you know, everybody can't be Travis Hunter, man, you know. but, you know, he certainly brings a lot to the, he runs really good routes, got nice hands, very nice acceleration. So there's a lot about this kid to like. He looks, you know, it's funny. His film is so funny because if I didn't know his measurements, I would guess taller than 6'1" looking at him.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got a bunch of short teammates and that just,
well, I mean, I mean standing out by himself with nobody around him, he just looks like he gets there, you know, and that's gonna stand him well in terms of being able to high point the ball and make
just the way his legs move, it reminds me of Bryce Bobo. Just kind of their mannerisms as receivers out there. I guess that's
why that's brought that up right there. Just nice and patient on that. You know, he's not the explosive guy because Khalil Taylor would have taken that one to the house, but that was a nice return. It's not to take anything away from Jaden Baldwin, but he was really patient, set up his blockers there. I'm trying to think who else he reminds me of recently. He can run. That's a nice play. So that he's got nice balance. You know, you're not going to take him down with one hand on a foot most often. Is able to adjust the ball pretty well. There he is on a little reverse counter type thing.
Playing at Sun Devil Stadium there.
Yeah. They do some untraditional things with him, like bringing him around into motion on that one and throwing to him more or less like almost like a that's today's version of a toss sweep back in the day. There's some speed. There's some just kind of picking them up and putting them down right there. Not afraid to make contact. Looked like they played him as an I formation tailback that previous play. So there's a couple nice blocking plays. He's putting those in there, which is nice to see. And I think you're going to see more of that with Marion because he demands that of his receivers so much. There's a nice little, almost a jet sweep, not quite, but I think you're going to see more and more that you'll see guys that we're looking at a receiver who do put that kind of blocking, because it's going to be something that's very important to our offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
say that. Like, Mays, hey, you know what? It's crazy how these little bubble screens work at the wide receiver's block. Oops.
All right. Good stuff there. We had one more, William, but like you said, I had prepped you on Isaiah Alvarez, who's also going to take a visit. So we'll get into his film on the next show that we do. But we'll, cause we have some other topics to get into here before we sign off from this show. Let's get into our final ad reads and then, we'll come back. We're going to talk about, Ernest Campbell showing up 6.76 in the 60 meter dash, ninth best MCU history. This after just 2 days of practicing. So a couple more topics we want to finish out this show with before we call this one a wrap. Is your business growing but not quite ready for a full-time CFO? Macaulay Capital offers fractional CFO services for companies doing more than $3 million in annual revenue. You get expert financial leadership without the full cost. Learn more about how you can improve your business's profitability and cash management at MacaulayCapital.com. If you know Boulder, you know the Hungry Toad. We've been serving this town since 1991, long before the lines on Pearl Street. Just north of campus, we're your local British pub with proper fish and chips, quality burgers, a scratch kitchen, real English cask ale, and no tourist fluff. We support CU football, women's soccer, and the loyal fans who keep it local. The Hungry Toad, Boulder born, Buffs proud. All right, welcome back in. Colorado has to hire a new defensive tackles coach, it sounds like, based on Phillip Dukes, that will come from outside of the program. So we're waiting on that. What do you want to see? What characteristics do you want to see out of that hire, William? Is there anything that jumps off the page in terms of things that could really help that group going forward?
Well, you know, the first thing to me is always going to be, is he technically sound and can he teach? You know, I mean, there's a lot of guys that are great defensive tackles that can't teach it very well. But the other thing that I think has been important in good defensive tackle coaches that we've had before is that they have that passion and they inspire those players and they get them fired up to play with that kind of fire. Who was the guy a couple years ago we had? Went
Damian Lewis, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and just really got guys fired up. You know, I want to see, you know, fire from that defensive line coach. I want to see discipline. And then, you know, on a totally unrelated point, I want to see a recruiter. You know, now I would put the defensive tackles coach needs to have that fundamentally sound coaching ability first. I want a guy that can recruit. And I think that hopefully Coach Prime is putting a premium on guys that can recruit out there, but they got to be able to play the game right, because playing defensive tackle with a hand on the ground, and especially with some of the guys we got who are not some of the bigger guys, you know, like a Santana Hopper is going to have to play with some precise technique, you know? So somebody that can come in and right off the bat, get those guys working and get them on the same page. I don't know who they're looking at. Hard to say what else to look for, you know, without any idea who they're. I like Domantas Peko and what he was doing there. I think they just all got hurt last year.
Yeah, no doubt. So we'll see. I would imagine that news will come out here in the coming weeks before they get into spring ball. Want to have that solidified before you get into those 15 practices prepping right. This group, which is, now that you have no spring transfer window, this is going to be the bulk of your roster. You're going to welcome in, some prep signees late in the process. You're going to welcome in some walk-ons. You're going to maybe welcome in a few graduate transfers, but it's not going to be this big kind of reshuffling of the roster where teams seem to be just trading backups after the spring ball window ends. So It's going to be interesting. We'll get more into spring ball. I wanted to kind of lay the foundation there. You talked about Ernest Campbell being one of the guys that you feel could really stand out during spring ball based on his experience knowing Sacramento State's offense and knowing that speed. I mentioned before the ad break, 6.76 in the 60-meter dash. He ran a 10.02 at Texas A&M. when he was a freshman. That is some elite speed that this young man possesses.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You know, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but you're not going to be able to cover him, you know, because of that speed. I think this offense gives a guy of his size and abilities a real advantage. I think he's a guy you could play at one of those two running back spots as well, frankly. But that kind of speed, you know, he's going to be open behind the secondary a lot. And I think Brennan Marion's a smart enough offensive coordinator to give him the opportunity to do that and actually throw to him. I do hope that with Marion instead of Shermer, that he will call plays and adjust his offense to the talent he actually has, because there's guys that are game breakers on this offense and they need to get them the ball.
Before we sign off, I don't know if you saw Christian Fourier's comments about Coach Prime. Did you happen to see that?
Yeah, I saw the whole thing about that. I think, you know, I don't know. He's entitled to his opinion. I don't really want to talk. You know, he came a little bit after me back in the day, so I don't really know him on a personal level. Okay. But he's got his agenda like anybody else. I don't necessarily take any one person's views of somebody as the gospel, because who the hell knows what the story is behind that, right?
We're all biased on some level.
Yeah. You know, and you know, he's got a kid that left here under Coach Prime, and you know, I mean, the younger Fourier didn't do anything when he left here. So I don't know. You know, I've seen a lot of parents over the years that don't like the head coach or their position coach or whatever. So just because of the fact that he was a great player here and played in the NFL doesn't make his opinion gospel.
Yeah, that was one of my main issues with some of the Athlon hit pieces in that first and second offseason under Coach Prime, was that they were taking one person's word for it. Right. And you have 85, or you right now committed to the Colorado football roster in 2026. You got 80 scholarship guys, you got a bunch of walk-ons. You're going to be around 105 players. You're going to have a big staff from everything from the head coach down to nutrition. And if you just take one person's word for it, like you said perfectly, You got to have a bigger, you know, just palette of being able to kind of assess things. And there have been so many times in my time covering the Colorado Buffaloes that I hear one disgruntled person say something negative. You talk to 10 more people and they're, oh, well, that person said that because of this and they were wrong there. So yeah. You really have to navigate through a lot of BS.
Well,
you get to the truth sometimes.
Anytime you're trying to judge credibility, the context of the person saying the thing, you know, like what's their angle, you know, where are they coming from? And not to imply that people are dishonest or whatever, but everybody's got their angle and their agenda. You know, I was working for the team in 89 that went undefeated, you know, 11-0 in the regular season. And I absolutely guarantee you, I knew people who hated Coach Mack. Thought he was dishonest, thought he sucks, thought he lied, whatever, you know. That's on an 11-win ranked first in the country team. There will always be someone in a group of 100 or more humans that doesn't like the situation they're in, regardless of how good it's going.
Yeah. Yeah. The human condition, I guess, is what you call it, right?
Yeah. You know, I guess, but, you know, you get 100 people and I'm one of them, I guess I'll be the one where I'll point a finger. Get that guy off the island.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the best way to go about that, probably. Not probably. It definitely wasn't the right way to go about that.
Yeah, but
you can voice displeasure without going below the belt, in my opinion.
I mean, you know, everybody's got their opinion. If he's angry at the guy, I don't know why it is, but he is. And, you know, I got a few people that I would like to say some choice things about. If I ever got the opportunity, I'm going to say it. You know, so I'm not going to get too worked up about Christian Fourier. His opinion does not mean anything to me, and that's not a knock on him. I don't know the guy.
Yeah. And maybe some of the aggregation of that is just kind of further proof that people just want clicks, and that's what it is in 26.
Yeah. you know, if you're looking to just get people to read your stuff and you think being anti Coach Prime will get those people to look, then you find somebody that's got a gripe against them and you post and you give them a microphone, you know. I think, you know, King BB1 has a good point here that, you know, the truth in both the haters and the Glazers, beautiful and real journalists can present both. But I think one thing about that is the vast majority of us are not either one of those extremes. You know, most of us are somewhere in the middle, and we can see some positive, we can see some negative, and you know, balances out to some extent. But the ones you tend to hear from are the ones at the extremes, because they're mostly involved in it. You know, if that makes any sense. It's like when you hate something or you really love something, you are emotionally part of that, and you're more likely to say what's on your mind. You know, whereas the guy's just like, oh, you know, things are kind of good. You know, probably don't have a whole lot to gripe about or you know, support or whatever. I don't know. You know, just kind of human nature that the people who have a position that's extreme, and maybe extreme is not the right word, but more towards the outer side of each direction, are going to have more to say.
I hope Coach Prime wins a national championship in Boulder. I hope he's around for a very long period of time.
Yeah.
I like the man personally. There are some complications from my job standpoint, and so I've had to be honest with that. But, you know, really – I'm going to just be honest. Like it's so much easier, William, in life to just tell what you're really feeling at times. Right. You know, it kind of takes away some of the complication of things,
but also
when I've been critical of Coach Prime, it's been, I feel like fair. I've never gone after him in any type of low blow way.
I think, you know, I don't know, you know, the old thing parents used to say is like, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. That's not necessarily true. I think, especially in what we're doing here, I think we have to acknowledge the negative as well as the positive. I think we're both fairly positive people, but, you know, you don't got to beat the negative into the ground every time you open your mouth.
Right.
Because if that's how you feel about it, maybe you ought to move on to something that you like. I don't know.
I tell you, man, every time I get out there on the grass and get a chance to see those Colorado Buffaloes, it invokes something in me. So
yeah, I think that's
why I'm here 23 years later. Yep.
And that's where the excitement will come back when things start happening again on the field and get the pads on. So I don't worry about it too much. The game's changing and the people that don't like it will move on to something else, and that's okay too.
All right. Well, we had a good show here. An hour and a half we went, but William, it's always good to break down film with you. We got one more upcoming visitor to break down with his film on the next show. And we're going to kind of keep gearing up, ramping up till spring ball. And we're going to have, I'm sure, more film to go over next week, because I feel like Darius Dardenbaugh is putting in some good work there. It seems like watching the film of these guys that they're bringing in, he's got a good eye for talent.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, maybe a closing point here, but I think I'm going back to look, because Dan O, SKO, said something about, you know, in today's game, it's a coin flip whether any of these guys will ever play for CU. Well, that's true. But, you know, it's still fun to be excited about looking at them, and they're looking at us, and they're coming to visit us. So, that's, you know, it's more than a zero chance that they're going to end up playing for us if they're coming out here to visit. So you still got to try to find the excitement and the fun about it. I think, I don't know. I mean, I could watch film like Khalil Taylor all damn day with you, and I don't even like wide receivers.
If you didn't enjoy that, then I don't know if you're a football fan. That was fun.
But like the same thing though with Kenny Fairley, you know, that defensive tackle. I mean, that was just fun to watch. I mean, at the end of the day, if you love the game, that's what you love, right? I mean, it's great players doing great things.
Yeah. We're gonna keep doing that here on Buff Stampede Radio going forward.
Yeah.
We are gonna do that. Yeah.
All right, my friend.
Appreciate you, William. I kept you longer than I was planning to today, but appreciate you as always. And I appreciate everybody out there tuning in.